Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
All right, I'm going to start with a joke. You ready? I know you're not. It doesn't matter. All right. This joke actually has to go with my word. Shane, well done today. That was really good. That was just really full of the spirit and joy and Shane and team. It's really good. All right. Actually, the title of this is a stupid joke. So that's actually the title. An old Italian man lived alone in the country. It was spring and he wanted to dig his tomato garden, as he had done every year. But it was very hard work for an aging man, as the ground was hard. His only son, Vincent, who used to help him, was currently in prison. The old man wrote a letter to his son and described the predicament. He said, "Dear Vincent, I'm feeling pretty bad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. But I'm just getting too old and to be digging up a garden plot. If only you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you would dig the plot for me. Love, Dad." A few days later, he received a letter from his son. "Dear Dad, don't dig up the garden. That's where I buried the bodies. Love, Vinny." At 4 a.m. the next morning, FBI agents and local police arrived at the old man's house and dug up the entire area. However, they didn't find any bodies, so they apologized to the old man and left. That same day, the old man received another letter from his son. "Dear Dad, go ahead and plant tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under these circumstances. Love, Vinny." I thought that was great. All right, that has to do with my sermon today, believe it or not. I got to get my tool. All right, we're getting serious today. All right. See, I told you it had something to do with my sermon. Tough ground. Turn your Bibles. We're going to do, really honestly, this is a reminder and a review more than anything else. But turn your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis 2. And while you're doing that, also pull out a notepad or your phone or something. I'm going to give you a little assignment. We like to do that because it says to put your faith into works, put your action, right? What I'd like you to do is I want you to just kind of look around, and maybe you've seen faces that, or you haven't seen faces. I want you to make a note right now in your reminder app or whatever app you use to call someone. I'm going to give you 24 hours, not that I can follow up with it. Just give yourself 24 hours to go, you know what, I'm going to call someone today to see how they're doing. Maybe there's a face you haven't seen in a while. Maybe there's somebody that you just know they're not doing well. Just make a point to go, I'm going to call someone. If we all did that, somebody, you know, may receive four calls, somebody may receive one, but let's just try to call people and see how they're doing. Really, really important, right? So we're 6 months into this season that we're in. And, you know, of course, 6 months in, they're starting to have stats come out. We've been talking about unity. I'm going to kind of put that on hold for today. The stats are coming out, and of course, we've probably heard it. You've probably heard it that depression, anxiety, addiction, suicide, they're all skyrocketing in the season that we're in. It's sad to know that there are so many that are being so challenged. And I think if we are all to be honest, you know, that's why even bye-bye fear, I think there's moments where we've all been hit with things. Could be fear, anxiety, could be hopelessness, could be confusion, could be depression. These are all real things when we go through seasons like this. So the bad news is that it's going up. The good news is that people are turning to the church. That is good news. Some people because they went to Sunday school, some people because they're desperate for hope and drugs aren't working. You know, everything they're trying isn't working, and so they're reaching out to a God to find out if there is hope. And how many know we have the answer? His name is Jesus. But I also want to be aware that as the season goes on, and I don't think it's just over yet, that we will be challenged. And I feel like right now it's important to remember the simplicity of things. Because we can get really complex in this season. It's a very, very complex season. There's more happening right now, different challenges, multiple challenges, whether it's COVID or racial tension or, you know, financial tension or you just name it. It's a very complex season. Forest fires, hurricanes, just it's complex. And so right now it's really important that we remember some of the simple things that are some of the most profound. And I want to talk about that today. We good? All right, Genesis, turn to Genesis 2. There's scripture, Genesis 2, verse 5. Actually, let's start with verse 4. It says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the ground field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground." I'm going to read that again. "For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground." This spring, Krista and I and the family, we decided to do a big project. How you doing, Connie? How you doing with Camry? Good if I can move a little bit? Good to see you. We decided to do a project because we had some time. And we are due for a project. I think I've shared a little bit about it. We built a gazebo and did some patio stone, and we really love doing it. I don't know about you, though. Have you ever tried digging in our Essex County clay? My goodness, we have some of the hardest ground around. I just yesterday had to go out and put a new fence pole in somewhere, and I am so thankful. I have a reputation. I'm not sure if it's a good one or not, but I have a reputation for finding things in the garbage. So much so that even my neighbors know that. Because one day I got a call or I got a text. She's like, "Hey, Jay, just so you know, I saw somebody's throwing out a pickaxe in the garbage." I'm like, "Why were you telling me this? Like, how do you know? I don't go around and sneak in everybody's garbage. It's just if I see something good, I grab it." My kids are, if I slow down, my kids are always like, "Dad, no, no, please drop us off first. No." Oh, let me just follow up with another story with garbage. We were driving in a neighborhood. I was driving in the neighborhood one day, and I saw this mattress up against the pole. Yeah, I know. Everybody's like, "No, no, it wasn't garbage day." But this beautiful, it was a beautiful mattress. So I thought, what the heck? I'm not going to grab it without talking to the guy. So I walk up to the door. I'm like, "Are you getting rid of the mattress? Is it okay?" He's like, "The mattress is almost brand new." He said, "I put it on Kijiji. Nobody would take it for free." He said, "I just happened to have to get a new bed mattress because we went from a queen to a king." And he said, "I can't get rid of it." He says, "It's perfectly fine. Will you take it?" I'm like, "Absolutely." And it was. There was not a stain on it. It was clean. Just put it out. I think that's a win. It is a win. I'm good with it. Chris is good with it. It doesn't smell or anything like that. Well, didn't necessarily think through that conversation when I was having it with Tom Crandall. Because he's like, "Dude, your mattress is amazing downstairs." I'm like, "Oh, let me tell you the story." And halfway through, I thought, I shouldn't be telling him this story. He's like, "This must be a Canadian thing." I'm like, "No, I think it's just a Jay thing." Anyway, so lo and behold, when my neighbor texted me, she said, "You know, there's pickaxe." And I went down there. This is a perfect pickaxe. I have used this pickaxe in our Essex County clay more than I can tell you. It's amazing because when we did our renovations and we had to dig up, I didn't have the pickaxe at the time, but we had to dig up all this clay. It took a long time. We put it to the backyard. You know, at that point, I had to get a rototiller. I rototillered it up, raked it all out. It was so nice. Isn't it amazing, though, if you let it sit for too long, it goes right back to rock. And instead of being that soil that absorbs the water, it literally, we had that in the spring, we had some of those heavy rains, and it flooded my entire backyard and my neighbor's backyard. It was just a mess. What's amazing, though, is since that I've used something like this, a pickaxe and a rototiller, as soon as I was able to, you know, grind it up and get some grass seed on it, I'm amazed at how that water just absorbs now. But before that, it was rock hard. In the scripture we just read, it said, God had not caused it to rain because there was no man to till the ground. Jump a little further to verse 15. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. So we have a scripture that says that it's not raining because there's no man to till the ground. And then we have a scripture that says God puts man in the garden to tend and to keep it. We know that word to tend is to shamar, to protect, to guard, to, avad. Keep is to protect, which is shamar. Thank you. Getting them all mixed up. And we often look at the word guard, but it's interesting that word tend, and Claude, you have a great word. I often steal it from it. It's just, it's the understanding that to tend something in that definition is the word worship. The actual word tend means to till. It means to get the soil ready. It also means, though, to worship. And I think right now, if we're not careful, we could worship a lot of things, but they're the wrong things. I have looked at the news, unfortunately, more often in the last 6 months than I ever have probably in my lifetime. And I'm beginning to realize it really doesn't do a whole lot, does it? Well, no, let me say it this way. It does a whole lot, but it doesn't do a whole lot of kingdom good. Because you're hearing such negativity. And what I want to share, the simplicity of it is this, that when you're listening and reading and thinking about these things, it actually hardens the ground. Now, we have to be aware, no doubt. But if we're not careful, these things can actually consume us. And the simplicity of how God created us is lost. And then like Dorman, you know, we're talking about being ready and equipped. You know, you had the aftermath of the fear, but you actually were equipped when you went out that day to be able to minister. We want to be fully ready to minister. And right now, because anxiety is going up, depression's going up, what's happening is there's such an influx. We are in an information age. We have so much information coming at us that I believe one of the things that's happening without us even meaning to is our hearts are growing hard. They're not necessarily growing hard towards God, but they're growing hard because worship is not actually softening the ground on a daily basis. Honestly, I don't think we can go a day anymore without being in the Word of God and in the presence of God. Right. Like, I think we're, you know, there used to be times you could honestly get away with a week and be like, you know what, that was a little rough week, but I'm here to worship. I honestly think we're in a season, you can't go a day. Because when I laid that clay, literally within the day, that sun started to beat on it, and it began to be rock hard. Almost within a day, it started to go towards that form. And it took something like this to begin to break it apart. Now, you know what's interesting is that we were doing it today. We were using a bit of this today. Bye-bye fear. You know, and we did it as such a beautiful line because it's, you know, you're smiling while you're doing it. And at the same time, you're like, yeah, bye-bye fear. You've been hanging around a little too long. But that's actually a pickaxe turning up the soil and going, well, I'm getting rid of the fear. And I'm softening the ground. Because we need the rain of God every day to be softening us. Every day. I know it's simple, but how many know sometimes the simplest things are the hardest to do? Anybody have to take, you know, medication for 10 days? And there was a season where you could have the medication out on the counter and just remember to take it. And then you get to a point where you got to go buy one of those containers and make sure Monday to Sunday. And you don't just leave it out. You leave it like right where you can see it. Why? Because it's the simplest things that go, you know, you forget. What do we have? One of the biggest apps that they have nowadays is water intake tracking. Right? How many glasses of water? Because we all know you should have 8 glasses a day. That's the minimum. How many know it's really hard to get 8 glasses of water a day? Anybody want to admit to it? So we have apps now that track it. So we can make the simplest things are sometimes the hardest to do. Saying thankful, you know. It's easy to wake up and forget to say good morning before you say what they need to do as kids, right? Hey, oh, by the way, instead of going, hey, good morning, so good to see you. Did you have a good sleep? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, it's just simple things. Thankfulness and gratitude. I'm going to give you some stats here. You ready? These are secular stats. This is some of the stuff that is most... What I love about it is that science is now beginning to back up the Word of God. It's like confirming this is truth. And now there's a whole thing called positive psychology that they've been studying this for a few years now, and they're beginning to realize, and Erica, you would know things like this, they're beginning to realize that the power of our voice and our thoughts literally create the day that you're going to have. It's not the day that creates your voice and your thoughts. It's your voice and thoughts that create your day. Look at this. It says, benefits of being thankful and positive. Positive people live longer. Fact. How many want to live longer? Simple thing. Be positive. Positive people make better decisions under pressure. Marriages are more likely to succeed. Positive people who regularly express positive emotions are more resilient when facing stress, challenges, and adversity. I'm going to read that again. Positive people who regularly express positive emotions are more resilient when facing stress, challenges, and adversity. What are we facing right now? Stress, challenges, and adversity. What's the greatest thing we could do right now? Express positivity. Express positivity. When your house seems to be less than you like, talking about it over and over again is never going to fix the problem. But waking up every day going, I'm so thankful I have a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, that I've been able to live here for so long. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me the finances to begin to fix this up. Thank you. Expressing positivity is going to change how you think about your house. And before you know, you're all of a sudden going, you know what, this house isn't that bad. And if I maybe paint this, and changes your whole view. Positive thoughts and emotions counter negative effects of stress. Positive people have more friends. How many want more friends? Be positive. Okay, now here's the reverse. The cost of negativity. 90% of doctor visits are stress related. 90% of doctor's visit. You go in because your heart hurts, then you find out you're stressed. You go in because you're not breathing as well, you find out you're stressed. 90%. I love this study. A study found that negative employees can scare off every customer they speak with for good. Did you hear that? Negative employees can scare off every customer they speak with for good. Negative emotions are associated with a decrease in lifespan and longevity. Negative emotions increase the risk of heart attack and stroke. Negativity is associated with greater stress, less energy, and more pain. Negative people have fewer friends. And now here's some hardcore facts here. Grateful people have the following benefits. 16% fewer physical symptoms. 19% more time exercising. If you're simply a positive person, you spend 19% of your time more exercising. Interesting. 10% less physical pain, 8% more sleep, 25% increased quality sleep. And the last thing, a gratitude journal was found to lower depression symptoms by 30% for as long as the practice was continued. 30% simply by every day being grateful when you wake up and having writing it down. That's an expression, right? Because remember it said an expression. So simply, I don't know if you could find many drugs that will actually have a 30% result. Because a lot of times you're like, man, if this will help 10%, 15%. But 30% just for writing out something that you're grateful every day, grateful for every day. I'm going to give you a challenge now, and I'll repeat it at the end of the service. There's in my news feed on my Apple phone, I don't know if I signed up for it, if it just started to happen because I clicked on, you know, the algorithms. You click on an article, it feeds you more articles. But there's this... I think it's a magazine called Ladder. Anybody read Ladder articles on there? See, it might be because I clicked on it. But it simply is they do research and they do it for a week at a time. And it always starts with, I did this for a week and then it tells you what the experiment was. So you ready for an experiment? How many will go on a journey with me for 1 week? 7 days. How many can do 7 days? Come on, 7 days. You're like, I don't know what it is. 7 days of gratefulness. It's really simple. I'm going to read you a psalm. This is where God clearly states. It says Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Can you guys say that with me? It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. But listen, to declare your loving kindness or mercy in the morning and your faithfulness every night. It's like a blueprint for success, for health. The Bible has it all. Have you figured that out yet? The Bible has it all. So let's do the ladder challenge. It's called the ladder. That's the organization that puts these out. So let's do this. Starting tomorrow, we can say after 7 days, I did gratefulness and thankfulness for 7 days, and we'll be able to fill in the blank. I discovered that I found that I was, and I would love to hear feedback. So here's the challenge. Every day, and you can do this morning and night, or just morning, whatever you feel like you're comfortable with. But every morning, write 3 things that you are grateful for. And meditate for 5 minutes on those things. It'd be great to start off with, thank you, Lord, for. It could just simply be, Lord, you saved me. Like, every morning it could be different and should be different, but maybe it's one morning you wake up and you go, man, I am saved because of the cross. I haven't thought about that in a while, but I am so thankful for the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for my family. Spend some time just, man, I'm thankful for my family. Because we often complain a lot, don't we? We realize all the bad things, but what about all the good things? 3 things a day for 7 days. And we will simply declare his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. I love it. It is so enjoyable to come before you with uncontainable praises spilling over our hearts. Oh, I want to make sure this is the right one. Yep. I'll read it again. It is so enjoyable to come before you with uncontainable praises spilling from our hearts. How we love to sing our praise over and over to you, the matchless God, high and exalted over all. At each and every sunrise, we will be thanking you for your kindness and your love. As the sun sets and all through the night, we will keep proclaiming, you are so faithful. Melodies of praise will fill the air as every musical instrument joined with every heart overflows with worship. No wonder I'm so glad. I can't keep it in. Lord, I'm shouting with glee over all you've done for all you've done for me. Don't you love that? No wonder I'm so glad. Well, okay, we just learned that positivity does all these things. He just says, no wonder why I'm so glad. Why? Because he thinks every morning on his loving kindness and his faithfulness at night. What did I say? Simple things. Simple things. How would it affect the people that we love around us if we can begin, like even as Christians, if every day we can begin to draw on what God is doing? The world is pumping more information so often, so quickly of every, like in my news feed, I'm finding out about a murder 1,000 miles away. Like you think about that, what my brain has to comprehend 1,000 miles away that will never affect me. And yet my whole being is being affected by reading that article. So if that is the truth and you could feel it, like, I don't know about you, like there are some real things like the Oshawa thing that happened recently. You know what I'm talking about? That family, so tragic. My heart, this is my nation, right? That's our province. But if that article, I could feel myself, the sadness. At one point, I found myself weeping for the mom that's still alive and the son. Like I found myself so grieved. But you think about the emotions that that article, I don't know the family, I'm just simply reading it, and that is creating all these emotions inside of me. How much more when we think about the goodness of God? Like, what is that doing inside of us? We may not be able to feel it, but the same principle is happening. That we're getting hormones released. We're beginning to remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God, and it begins to change our whole demeanor. We can't be insulated from things. That's the reality. We can't, it's like, I'm going to ignore everything. But if we don't balance it or even overdose with the goodness of God, we're going to find ourselves in depression and anxiety, just like the world. And yet right here, I believe, is some of the greatest keys to our health. Amen? Let me just read a few scriptures. Jesus modeled this so well for us. And I want us to think for a second, because as I thought about the context, I thought, let me show you. Luke 22, verse 19. Actually, let's start with Matthew 15, verse 36. If you want to put it up, you could just listen. This is Jesus, and he said he took the 7 loaves. He's about to multiply the 7 loaves and the fish. And what did he do? First thing, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and he gave thanks. That word give thanks is Eucharistio, which is what we get for Eucharist, which is literally taking communion. He says he gave thanks. So the disciples, if you read through, they're like, what is this going to do? Like literally, we have all these people, thousands of people, and we've got fish and bread. What is this going to do? Jesus takes the complete opposite. So I don't know about you right now. Sometimes I'm like, what is my life going to do in this situation? What are my words going to do? But Jesus takes it and he goes, Lord, I thank you for this. He sees an abundance. We see not enough. And gratefulness begins to flip that, where we begin to go, Lord, through you, this has got to be enough. So I'm going to thank you for what I have. And we live in a day and age, it doesn't matter what you watch, we are constantly being shown what we don't have. You know, I feel challenged and troubled for my kids because they're growing up in an age where everything is about what you don't have, because this is what I have, right? We put on the best smile, we put on our best clothes, and you know, I get it. My kids, you know, there is the best time for taking pictures, I'm finding out. The sun, and there's even apps to tell you when that time is, because the sun has the best glow and it makes your face look the best. I know. And it's not necessarily, I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong, but you back up for a second, you realize everything is about making us look like we're having the best time, the best moment, with the best clothes, with the best friends. And yet you look at the stats, depression's going up, anxiety's going up, suicide's going up. So the reality is that is not working. But more than ever before, we're faced with what we don't have. Kristen and I like watching real estate shows. But if I'm not careful, I'm watching these real estate shows being face to face with what I don't have. Anybody else notice that? You're like, you love it, and then you go, oh man, I wish I had that sunset house in Malibu. I don't, but right now I do. Because when you're done, you know, I don't want to move there, but you kind of feel like it'd be nice to have that house. We were watching, where was it at? In Maine or the Hamptons. Oh my gosh, these houses in the Hamptons. Anybody watch that on Netflix? Some real estate show in the Hamptons. You're looking at these houses and you're like, oh my gosh, if I had that. What? Really? Would you be happier? No, because if this isn't in place, it doesn't matter what you have. Because Jesus modeled, I could be grateful with nothing and I could be grateful with everything. Paul said the same thing. So he says he takes the fish and the loaves. He gives thanks. He breaks them and gives them to the disciples. And the disciples gave it to the multitudes and it multiplied. But look at this. Luke 22, verse 19. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Okay, let's just give some context. I was thinking about this, is the fact that he is about to go through the most excruciating, painful death there is. And yet he's giving thanks for his very body that's about to be broken. I'm like, Lord, that, we know in a few minutes he's going to be in the garden and he's going to be in agony. But he in that moment, he's like, you're going to take this in remembrance of me and I'm thanking the Lord for it. I thought, man, that is a whole another level of thankfulness, isn't it? Knowing even you're going through those moments, but you're like, I'm so thankful, Jesus, you're with me. I'm so thankful that you're walking with this through this situation with me, and I'm going to give thanks anyway. Jesus modeled it over and over again. The Psalms model it over. I have so many Psalms that we could read where it's like, give thanks to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And I know we know this, church. I'm sorry that I'm going through it again, but I feel like we need a reminder. Because if you're like me, I've preached this, I know it, and I can still find myself going down the trail of negativity. Some people have a bent towards that. Other people, we call them optimists. But the reality is, it's a choice every day we get up. I'm going to get up and read the word. I'm going to get up. I'm going to declare the goodness. I'm finding that my phone's over there. If I even have my phone around, it's going to be a distraction. And I know there's a generation, I'm not against it, where you're doing everything on your phone. I'd like to challenge you to do 7 days with a real physical Bible. And leave your phone somewhere where you cannot get it. Because as soon as I push my Wi-Fi, because I have it on airplane mode every night, or I take it off airplane mode, those dings, I'm like Pavlov's dogs. I start to salivate when I hear the ding. If you've taken psychology, you understand that. It simply means my brain is tuned in to those dings, and I want to look. I want to see who texted me. I want to see what news feed just came across. So I am learning in this hour, I'm putting my phone completely away. It's not even going to be near me. I have to literally put it over here because I got to get into the Word of God. And I literally got to set my day with his loving kindness. Because everything else throughout my day could be the opposite. But I'm going to start my day with the pickaxe and make sure that my soil is ready to receive the rain. Remember in Genesis, it said, it did not rain because there was no man to till the ground. I think that's incredibly interesting that it's not even raining because he said there's no man to get the ground ready. Is it possible when we're feeling dry, it's because there's no rain because we haven't gotten the ground of our heart ready? Turn to Proverbs. Give you an address. It has escaped me. Proverbs 4:23. I'll get ready to close. Genesis talks, this whole beautiful chapter 1 and 2. It talks about this beautiful garden that God wants us to tend and to keep, to protect and till, to protect and worship in. I encourage you, how many have ever taken me up on my suggestion to watch The Biggest Little Farm? If you have not watched it, you gotta watch it. The Biggest Little Farm. If you're not into agriculture, it doesn't matter. Go into it looking at the analogy of what can be done in our hearts, in our life, when we can till the soil. Because it's this great movie of these people that want to get out of the city. They move to this, it's called something lane, can't remember it, Apricot Lane. And when they get there, they show you, even the preview, she takes the ground and she says, this is what we're dealing with. And she goes to drop it and it doesn't even break the soil. It's that hard. And then they get this guy to come in and he's an expert and he tries and you see him trying to put the shovel in the ground and the shovel's bending. He gets a pitchfork and he can't even get it in an inch. But you look at the end result after they till the soil, it's like the Garden of Eden. And that's, to me, an amazing imagery of what it looks like if we could till the soil of our heart to let the life of God blossom. And what I love about the show is that they're going to show you that there are things that are going to constantly try to come in to devour the land. And one of the quotes that I love is he says, it's the diversity that we need in order for this to function properly. So let's go back to the Unity series. Think about that statement. He said, the only way this ecosystem will work is if we have a diversity of plants and animal life for this to work properly. I think one of the problems that we have in the body of Christ is we get rid of everybody that's not like us. And then we get a whole bunch of problems that we didn't expect because we have no diversity. I'm not Dorman. It's very, Dorman's giftings, Rod's giftings, Claude's giftings, Karen's giftings, Shane's giftings. Shane and I lead worship a little differently. His giftings are different than mine. If we don't have a diversity, then we're always going to have things getting in because people aren't there to keep them out. Because some people see things, I'm just gone on unity for a minute. Some people see things that we don't. We need diversity in our life. Amen? Amen. You with me? You guys are quiet. All right, back to Proverbs. So Genesis gives us this beautiful garden, and it shows what it looks like if somebody comes in and tills the ground. Sometimes we have to start with a pickaxe, and maybe you're there today, and you got to start with a pickaxe to get the soil up, but it doesn't matter where you start, just start. It could simply be, man, all I can do right now is I can put on a worship song and thank the Lord for 5 minutes. Then do it. If that's where you're at, then do it. Some people are like, man, I could study the word for an hour. It's never enough. That's you. Awesome. But wherever you're at, get the pickaxe out and start. If you're like, I can't think of three things, think of one thing and go to bed with one thing. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It's the same thing as the garden. If you want the rain to come on my soil, I had to dig it up. And you know what's amazing? After I get done with a pickaxe, I can literally every day go out with a shovel and keep it. It doesn't take much after I get it all ground up. At first, it takes a lot of work, but once you've done the work, it's just simply a rake. And I make sure it stays smooth. And then I finally get the grass seed planted, and then I water it like crazy, and now I have grass. I love the kids. You know, a few times they'd walk around the corner because it's at the very back, and they're like, oh my gosh, grass. How did that happen? Little birds came and planted. No, I'm the one that did all the work. I had to rake it, smooth it out. But literally, I would do that. I went away for 3 days, and I came back. I'm like a proud father. Look at my grass. Anybody else do that or just me? Please, somebody. Thank you. Thank you. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We have to keep our hearts in this hour. Go back to Vinny. If you can't do it yourself, call on somebody. I've had seasons in my life where I had to say, Krista, help me out here. I know that sounds weird, but I've had moments where I was so foggy. It was so unclear. I had to get somebody's help and go, give me some things to be thankful for because I'm really struggling today. We have this term that came about in the last 4 years, fake news, right? We're all trying to figure out which news is real. You don't know what you read anymore, what's real. But I'll tell you this, much of what we listen to in our own minds is fake news. Did you know that? Most, if we're not careful of what we listen to our thoughts, they're usually fake news. Because our brains, for some reason, unredeemed, and sometimes even in the redeeming process, we want to latch on to the negative things in life. We want to make things that are small, huge. We avoid all the good things. We've got 10 good things, but we find that one bad thing, don't we? You know, we could walk through, and I'm guilty. I have, you call it an eye for excellence, and it could be an eye for an excellence, but if it's unredeemed, all you do is look at the negative. Remember Pastor Jeff one day, I was telling him something. You talk about, oh, I said, Pastor Jeff, you know, this is happening. And he's like, Jay, can I be honest with you? I should have said no. He said, you could have a Porsche, but you would find the dent. You would find that one dent. I'm like, oh, I know it's true, and I don't want to hear it. Because if we're not careful, our bent is to see the negative. Our brains are looking for it. So the only thing we can learn to do is redeem it by doing exactly what I preached in the Word. Every morning, Lord, show me your loving kindness. Yeah, I can see the eaves trough maybe that's coming down. I can see this issue. But Lord, what am I not seeing that I need to see? You've got 8 other eaves troughs that are perfectly fine, but you're looking at the one that's coming down. Your kids have done this, 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 and this, but you're looking at Zed. And you could just go through the list. But this is happening, Lord, but with this, this, and this is happening. Because right now we're inundated seeing negativity all the time. I'm going to read you one more psalm. Is that all right? I heard one yes. I'll read this one. This is out of the Passion Translation. You wonder sometimes if you're new to our church why we love to shout. I know we're a little more reserved right now. But Psalms clearly states, lift up a shout of joy to the Lord. It's biblical. And then it says, and this is a passion, go ahead, do it. Everyone, everywhere. That's got to be written by a worship leader. Right? Could you feel those moments? Like, hey, I just said, let's lift up a shout. Yes, you, everyone. Yes, everywhere. Let's do it. As you serve him, be glad and worship him. Sing your way into his presence with joy. Did you get? Sing your way into his presence with joy. And realize what this really means. We have the privilege of worshiping the Lord our God. When's the last time you thought of it that way? A privilege of worshiping the Lord our God. Man, we have a privilege. For he is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. You can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. Did you hear that? Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. So over the next 7 days, let's do the ladder of thanksgiving. For the next 7 days, I want to challenge you, and it's easy to think of this, go home and forget to do it. But what if for 7 days, every morning, and maybe every night, you got your journal out and thanked him for his loving kindness and his mercy? Well, science says that no matter what you think, there's going to be a difference in you physiologically, emotionally, mentally, physically, just by getting out a prayer journal, a gratitude journal, and thanking him for three things. Isn't that simple? How many have a gratitude journal and you do it daily? Raise your hand. Awesome. How many journal on a regular basis? Awesome. Why don't you stand? How many could feel yourself changing when Shane was singing that line, Bye Bye Fear? How many felt like a smile crack on your lips? Like just the line alone, we had a little hint of it. We had no idea, right? But at the very beginning of the service, when they started, how many saw those lines pop up and then they went off real quick? Did anybody see that? I thought it was kind of funny. I'm like, I had no clue what those were for. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then when we're singing them, it's hard not to have a smile on your face. Do you know that simply smiling affects your entire mood? So if you're like, I just smiled when I was singing that, God was doing something in you. Bye-bye fear. And the rest of the line was, because look where I'm standing. Bye-bye fear, can't stay here, because look where I'm standing. Well, where are we standing? Holy ground. We're standing in his love. We're standing. We're seated in heavenly places. Church, we should have the answers that the people outside of the church are looking at. Why do you guys have so much joy in this season? Well, it's a new medication I got. No. Let me tell you the simplicity of where it comes from. There's a loving God. You know, David, what a great testimony of trying to minister to a man who was feeling convicted. You know, and of course it's not always going to work because God kind of put that on his heart to do. And yeah, the next four, they may hang up. But that one person might have went home and rethought his entire course. At least the course of his job. Right? And simply by, you know, when you get up, don't do the news. Get up and put on some worship music. Maybe that line will run through tomorrow. I'm so thankful that we sang Bye Bye Fear. You know, probably if we did a poll, that might be like a whole bunch of people put that down. But I guarantee when you're battling fear, you know what's going to come into your brain? Bye Bye Fear. You're not welcome here anymore. Ah, come on, going to church. I had some scriptures about going to church. There is something that happens, and I know we can't all be together right now, but I'm telling you, when you gather, there's something that happens. There was something that was happening today when we were joining together going, no, 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 bye-bye fear, bye-bye fear. And the presence of God coming in. So Lord, we just stop and we say thank you. Lord, we want this simple truth to go deep into our hearts because sometimes we want profound truth. The simple truth is stirring up our hearts. The simple truth to draw in the rain of worship, to till the soil of our ground, to say, Lord, let it rain. Let it rain. And it's interesting, this relationship where it doesn't rain because we haven't tilled the ground, but it's this co-relationship where we till the ground and you let it rain. And so tomorrow morning or even tonight, we want to till the ground of thankfulness and praise and say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Without the cross, where would we be? Without the blood of Jesus, where would we be? But because of your mercy, we have everlasting life here, now, and in the future. So Lord, we just end the way we started. We say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we will be those that begin to thank you more than ever before. We just say we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.